This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Ready, Set, Bet here on a Saturday. Matt Brown, Mike Sumich coming to you, me here from the largest sportsbook in the world. And Mike Sumich, the true troopers are out there behind me right now, 9 a.m. Pacific. I see them line out the door to get coffee to make sure they can recover from whatever shenanigans happened last night and be ready for the madness this morning.
Yeah, a lot of people with that 16-team Moneyline favorite parlay out celebrating last night in Vegas. I heard the bottle service was popping because of all those Moneyline parlays that got home. We'll see if we continue the trend today here with the first weekend of March Madness rolling on.
Absolutely. The rumors of Vegas's demise is quite overblown, as it was unbelievable. I mean, crazy the last 2 days here. And I imagine it's going to continue through the weekend, but we have a fantastic show. Aaron Halterman going to join us. We'll see what he's got going on today, tomorrow, and maybe even into the future if he added anything as we're going on with that. And then Michael Tulip from Field of 68, college basketball analyst, going to join us as well on all of this. But as Mike mentioned, we did get all 16 favorites, 16-0 outright yesterday. And for the people who were tracking that from a betting perspective, 12 of them covered as well. Only UConn, Kansas, UCLA, and Virginia did not cover. So if you had some sort of wacky actual spread parlay going on, Mike, unless you included UConn, Kansas, UCLA, and Virginia, you got that one home as well.
And the irony of this is that I would argue Thursday and Friday of March Madness, two of the days where the general betting public tries to hunt underdogs. It's like, instead of playing favorites, like what we see every week, week in and week out in the NFL, these are the 2 days people are looking for dogs. And yet it was the reign of the chalk here, especially yesterday on Friday, going 12-4 against the spread and 16-0 straight up. Usually that's reserved for like the Sweet 16 round where we see favorites do very well. Generally that round of 64, not the spot that favorites have been crushing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I see if we can't get some information from our friends out here behind us, Mike, as to what the betting trends are today at the books. Are people trying to read too much into what happened yesterday and going absolutely bonkers today with all of that information? Or, like you said, are they going, no way that can happen again? I'm coming in on the other side. I will be curious as to what everybody's doing out there behind me as the line continues to grow. People getting ready for a game here that's going to tip off in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked about this general trend a couple weekends ago, specifically talking about, hey, how top heavy this tournament was. You can see the impact of NIL. And then that's where I'm really drawing the direct line here with the transfer portal, with NIL. It's harder and harder for these mid-major schools to consistently compete with the top-end schools. And you'd hope that the three-point ball is kind of the differentiator, where if one team gets hot, they're able to kind of cover some of these spreads. We even saw some teams shoot the three ball really well and not be able to cover the spread. And so it just feels like the gap is getting wider every single year right now in college basketball, because we just don't have that, you know, University of Illinois Chicago team, which had five seniors, which had played together for 4 years and didn't lose anybody. That just is a thing of the past in the mid-majors now. And I think we're seeing some of the consequences of that.
I did mention we do have a tip that is coming. Only one in the early window here for us, Mike, but it will be St. Louis and Michigan. Currently it is, as my screen kind of pops, we're getting 12.5 out there right now in favor of Michigan, and 161.5, the prevailing total, though. If you are in Vegas, you can head on over to the South Point 162 over there. But this is, like I said, the only early window game for us, and there'll be a tip kind of right before we get off air, but it'll basically be focused on that one today.
Yeah, it's honestly one of the most fun games of the day. We saw both of these teams join the Century Club in the first round, putting up over 100 points. I played over 160.5 last night, so I am in on the over in this game. We get to see Steph Blurry in action, one of the best nicknames in the tournament, playing for the St. Louis Billikens here. I think this is going to be a wide open game. St. Louis wants to push the pace. They want to go up and down. Michigan is totally fine running the floor with St. Louis here. I think this is a game where we're going to see 140, 135 level number of shots put up by the two teams combined. I like the over here. So I took over 160.5. I'd still play it at 161.5. I lean towards St. Louis, who I do think is going to be able to keep this game relatively close, but that one I do not have in the account yet, Matt.
Yeah, one of the most explosive kind of offense-on-offense games that we are going to get in the tournament. Two top 10 scoring teams in the country here in this one, and again, our only one in the opening window, so we will definitely keep you updated here on this one throughout the course of the show and let you know how that one is breaking down. Mike, of those games that were yesterday, Terrace Reed at UConn had 31 points and 27 rebounds, shot 12 of 15 from the floor, joining Bill Walton as the only person to ever go over 30 and 20 and shoot over 80% as well. Pretty good name to join in college basketball. As anyone knows, Bill Walton was just a absolutely dominant college basketball player, but you don't see many 31-27 games.
No, rare to see that 27, especially. I mean, that is a whole lot of rebounds. And, you know, honestly, if this UConn team shot better from 3-point range, they were just 5 for 25, may have been able to throw the triple double up as well. Ends up with just 3 assists, but had a lot of rebounds that kicked out that were missed threes off of them. So UConn shooting might have cost that incredible 31, 27, and 10 triple double, just not able to see it there, but still a heck of a game, despite a UConn team that I think probably got lit up in the locker room afterward, because it was not the UConn team that we're used to seeing in the tournament.
In the battle of the haves and the have-nots, Florida, Prairie View A&M, Florida won by 59. Ouch. It is the second biggest victory in tournament history. If you want to go back to 1963, you would find Loyola Chicago and Tennessee Tech in a 111-42 game. But that was it. And I mean, this Florida team, obviously super hot coming down the stretch. Lots of, you know, we had tons of people on the program, Mike, and they were talking to us about how much they liked Florida. And here they go and kind of make a statement. I understand it's Prairie View A&M, but we saw one seeds kind of play with their food. I'm talking about Duke a little bit, and you go out and win by 59. I think anybody that's got that futures ticket on Florida feeling pretty good.
Yeah, Florida 35.5 point favorites in this game. They won the first half 60-21, Matt. They covered the 35.5 in the first half there. They didn't really, it felt like they took it off the gas in the second half and still put up a 54 spot. So dominant offensive performance here from Florida. Obviously, the water's going to get a little bit deeper here as we move on. Prairie View A&M, not the best version of a basketball team that they're going to face in this tournament. But look, I would much rather come out and just see that dominant performance in round one. You mentioned Duke, who kind of sleptwalked through their game down at half, only faced five players that entire time in that ball game. And it just not a great performance. You'd much rather beat the Gators here in this dominant round one victory.
You remember that Loyola Chicago Tennessee Tech game in 1963, don't you? I mean, just an absolute, just a one way, one
a banger.
I mean,
man.
Yeah, 111-42 there in that one. So what we have seen also, Mike, here, and this has been trickling over the last few weeks. We talked about it here on the program. Hopefully you got in. That's not going to say that the ticket is going to cash, but what has happened now throughout the course of the last few weeks is we now have Devonta as your favorite to go in the NBA draft, minus 115 right now on this one. Peterson sitting plus 140. Boozer all the way down to plus 470. I don't think he's necessarily out of the equation either with this. And so it has now fully flipped, and Darren Peterson has now moved to the second shot here in the market. And, you know, again, a game scored a lot of points, didn't have any periphery stats whatsoever for Kansas yesterday. And so, like, I mean, we're talking 28 points, with like one board, one assist or something. So I do wonder if we are going to see these teams look at this guy and say, all the talent in the world, I don't want him on my team.
Yeah, it was a very Darren Peterson performance last night. You mentioned the shot making was incredible during stretches, went toe for toe with the star on the other side as well from Christian Baptist. But at the same time, when things got tight for Kansas, he just stood in the corner. He didn't even go after the basketball. It was four straight possessions where he didn't touch it when we were seeing that run. It just kind of gave you the heebie-jeebies about him. It's like, come on, man, you're supposed to be the dude. Go get the ball. Go make a play. And instead, he's just not getting the basketball. And the shot making, again, incredible at certain points. The three that he hit at the end of the first half, awesome. But man, you still want more from him because you believe the talent level is that high. You want him to take over games. You hear the comparisons to Kobe. Kobe wouldn't have been standing in the corner for those four straight possessions had that game gotten close. He would have wanted the basketball, wanted to take that shot. And so it's just, it's been interesting watching this progress as we now see, as you mentioned, DeBanzit here taking over favoritism in the number one draft pick market.
Over in the NBA, the Rockets snapped the Hawks 11-game win streak, 117-95 there. Hawks shot just 42% from the field, 26% from three. Pretty easy to point out how they ended up losing that one. But again, the Hawks going on a massive run. The Knicks escape with a one-point win over the Nets. And if you have been in this little rivalry, and it's not really a rivalry, Mike, but if you've been in this 14 straight for the Knicks over the Nets. I mean, this is like your buddy is a Knicks fan, you're a Nets fan, and you just been getting the wrong end of it for 14 straight.
I mean, it feels like, yes, 14 straight games. It feels like years and years and years you've been getting the wrong end of it here as a Nets fan, as they've tried to rebuild this franchise a couple times and failed miserably at doing so. And now your crosstown rival here just dominating you. It's not a wonderful look here for a Nets team, but at least, hey, they do have their own pick. They will get a high draft pick this year. We'll see what they can do with that team.
Pistons without Cade Cunningham get it done over the Warriors, 115-101. Warriors are now in that 10 seed, Mike. And I do not think, I mean, they're 2-8 in their last 10. I do not think that they fall out of that 10 seed. Obviously, still have a healthy little lead there over New Orleans. But one of the things we have mentioned about the Pelicans is they're actually not tanking because they don't have their pick anyway. So New Orleans, even they're just not very good, but they have no reason to not win. And so there might be a very, very slight sweat going on with that, but just interesting stuff there. And then the Celtics beat the Grizzlies, four straight win for them, just four games behind the Pistons there in the East. And they are your Eastern Conference favorites at plus 155.
Yeah, they should be. With the way that Tatum has played since returning, this looks like a Celtics team that is definitely going to be a threat in the playoffs. And then the Cade Cunningham collapse long. I mean, just brutal for a Pistons team where he is Mr. Do-It-All for them. They come and go as far as Cade Cunningham can take him. And so it's going to be interesting to see when he comes back and how he comes back.
The opening weekend of madness has tipped. Michigan and St. Louis going on out there. We'll keep you updated top to bottom on that one.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, appreciate you guys being with us here for the next 3 hours. Channel 158 over on Sirius, our very own VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours, YouTube TV as well. And Mike, we are rocking and rolling, and you looked down and said, defense optional early here.
Yeah, 10-7 right now. St. Louis up. Michigan at the line, shooting two free throws, trying to make it 10-9. We've already seen the total in this game jack up from 161.5 at close up to 168.5, juice to the over here. So a lot of very good shooting, a lot of very wide open shots right now early in this game between St. Louis and Michigan.
Certainly wanted to talk about this one before it got going and then just kind of do a brief little recap for the people joining us here, kind of the morning show on the West Coast with all of that. So let me get to the more general stuff here with you. Is there anything you took with you from the first 2 days of the tournament at all? I tried to do the don't overreact to what your eyes saw thing. But like I said, even though it was Prairie View A&M, I just very, very, very into this Florida team. But outside of that, I mean, that's really kind of my only huge takeaway, I think.
Yeah, I mean, my other one for me would be this Duke Blue Devils team, which we've talked about as being one of the dominant teams throughout the year. No Isaiah Evans right now, or I'm sorry, no Caleb Foster right now, a guard for them, one of their starters. And that specific piece missing, I thought was very prevalent. We saw the other Boozer brother be able to come in, play point guard for them, but I'm not sure they can win the national title without being completely healthy, especially with how good a couple of the other teams are here. And Duke struggling in that first round game, I thought was pretty telling as well. It just nothing looked easy on the offensive end for them against a Siena team that essentially played five players the entire time. So I don't want to overreact because this is still a Duke team that has played good basketball throughout the season, but missing a big who should be back today, missing your starting point guard, hoping to get him back if you can make the Final Four. To me, that was the other big part of this year, is that those Duke injuries, I felt, definitely showed up in that first round game against Siena. And I kind of leaned toward the under today just because of those offensive struggles I saw from Duke missing their starting point guard in the first round game.
Yeah, I think the only other thing to me, and it's the team's gone, so it doesn't really matter. But I mean, I found myself screaming at the television as North Carolina was just whittling away this game that should have been a rocking chair win. And I'm just going, guys, I understand you're 18, 19 years old, but what are we doing here? Like, how is this even possible? I was audibly screaming at my television. And I'm just like, Matt, calm down. This is, you did not go to North Carolina. You did not bet this game. You have absolutely no tie to this game, but I was feeling my blood starting to boil watching the thing.
Yeah, that was to me like, yeah, they're 18 or 19 years old. It was coaching malpractice. Yeah. I mean, just every time you saw them come out of a timeout, his shoulders were down, slumped. Like, yeah. No, there was no energy. There was no plan coming off the bench for these big moments. And it just, you could just see it slipping away. And there was nothing changing. They didn't adjust at all as it was slipping away, which to me is on the coach more than it is on the players.
Yeah, that was the only game I think that I was actually screaming at the television and without any action whatsoever. No action at all. No tie to either school, nothing. And I was going, what are we doing? I cannot believe this is happening. And we watch it again. A VCU, a very popular dog, actually. And so I'm sure there were a lot of people who thought they were dead. It should have been dead. And instead end up not only covering, but getting the outright win there.
Yeah, I was screaming at Villanova. That was a really frustrating game for me. And I did have Villanova bet laying the point and a half. And when you look at the box score, you're like, how in the world did they lose this basketball game? They shoot 47%, 14 from 30 from three. Utah State shoots 2 for 16 from three. What are we doing fouling every single play? It just, they could not defend without fouling. Utah State, 28 made free throws on 36 attempts. And some really dumb turnovers from Villanova as well. That to me was the most frustrating bet of that first round.
I guess the other question I would ask you, some of the dominant performances we saw, are you just kind of looking at it as the opponent? Or let's say, you know, Illinois wins by 35, you get Michigan State nearly win by 30. I understand the quality of the opponent. Nebraska, you know, wins by 30, all of that. Do you just kind of take that with a grain of salt?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, especially teams like Illinois, who we know are just elite offensively. Like, if you have a very good Power 4 team that's going to put up 100, they're going to win by margin, right? It's going to be very hard if they play well, if they play up to their level or their caliber offensively. And we've talked about it with this NIL era. You're just not seeing the continuity from these mid-majors that you saw in years past. And you're seeing guys that get brought in via NIL to these mid-major schools, right? But they're still not their best guys because they're going and playing Power 4 because they want an opportunity to go and play one of these very good basketball teams. And with the freedom of movement, you're just broadening the gap between who the top tier level schools are and who these bottom schools are. And I think that is what we really saw in the first round of March Madness this year. And I think we're going to see some of that here even in the second round. Yes, we have more of these closer spread games, but at the same time, I still think you're going to see some of these mismatches because the cream of the crop has clearly risen inside college basketball over the last couple of years. And I would still make the case like the teams that can win this title, 4 deep, 5 deep at most. Like, yeah. It just, there's not a lot on that the teams that I believe can jump up and really shock the world here to win a national title.
Yeah. I mean, I looked and the price just was, everybody agrees with kind of my sentiment, I guess, heading into this, because the price of just a 1 seed to win it all, it's like, I just look at these 4 1-seeds and I'm like, I just think they're much better than everybody else. I should bet that. And you go and it's like, oh no, that's -190 for like one of the four seeds to win, 4 1-seeds to win. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I won't, but I think that even the betting market was like, yeah, no, these teams are just better than everybody else.
Yeah. And we've seen it all year. Like, they've been the best teams all year long. Arizona loses back-to-back games. They don't have another loss. We saw Michigan Duke play each other. That was one of the best games we saw all season. Now Duke again, I think the health is the one thing with them that they need to get right. But, you know, if they can get out of that bracket and they get everybody back and they're healthy for the Final Four, why not? And you got St. John's, Kansas in the next round. And then you've got a UConn team that struggled a little bit in the first round as your two. Like, we'll see how it breaks for this Duke team. But they're the one I'm most worried about right now. But it's not because of talent. It's because of injury.
15-10 at the 15-minute mark here, Michigan up by 5 over St. Louis. Of course, we will keep you updated here as this one continues to progress. Give yourself an edge this tournament season. VSiN's Hoop Mania Special. Get VSiN Pro Access, everything we do, now to May the 1st for just $29. $99. So what that will get you, of course, all the stuff that we have going up on the site on a daily basis, maybe even an hourly basis around March Mania. But of course, we are not stopping there. We have tennis, we have NBA, we have golf, we have everything in between, horse race with Mike and everybody over there at VSiN.com. So all that we do now to May the 1st, $29.99, you can get that over at VSiN.com/subscribe. And mentioning golf really quickly, Mike, we are now into one of the lesser tournaments. That being said, it was a pretty decent field, and some of these guys, I guess, just wanted to get a little bit more reps with all of that. And one of those guys that needed more reps is a guy that's at the top of the leaderboard right now in Sung J.M., returned from injury a couple of weeks ago, looked really, really out of form and really, really bad. And then here we are 3 weeks later, and he's at the top of the leaderboard, 9 under. Now, there are a lot of people who can still contend here and some big names chasing him down as well. But this was a guy that you could have gotten at a much, much, much larger number than is normally attached to his name heading into this tournament due to injury and then the form that we thought he was in heading into this thing. And certainly, I know a pretty popular guy over in the DFS streets as well. He was super, super cheap over there. But we'll see if Sungjae can hold on to all of this. He's putting very well. His approach game, he's gained over 2.2 strokes so far throughout the tournament on the approach side of things, but he's gaining really across the board around the green, tee to green, all of that. So we'll see if Sungjae can hold on. Again, they're still getting chased down. Matt Fitzpatrick is out there. Rio Hisatsune is actually making a push right now. Patrick Cantlay, Gary Woodland, Jacob Bridgman. These are all guys that are at least somewhat within striking distance.
Yeah, a nice turnaround here for Sung J.M. And obviously very important as well with the Masters coming up for him to be able to play like this and see if he can kind of build some momentum up to be able to compete in the first major of the year there. I was surprised, like a couple back-to-back high-level events in the PGA. I was surprised how good this field was when I was looking through it on Wednesday night. So fun little tournament. We'll see if we can get a little bit more of the cream of the crop to rise, because I don't know a ton of people in the top five from the leaderboard perspective. But if you look at that like 10 to 20 level, a lot of big time names that are chasing right now, and you're seeing scores out on the course today. So we'll see if that continues to happen and we get a little bit of a shuffle on that leaderboard.
Matt Fitzpatrick, 4 back currently. He is not teed off. He would be your kind of class player. The first one that you get to there, no offense to Doug Gim and David Lipsky and all of that. They're only 1 or 2 back, but these are dudes that are not really at the top of the leaderboard on a consistent basis. Marco Pinge is a guy though, that had made a real name for himself over on the European Tour, now playing full time on the PGA Tour, struggled a little bit out of the gate, but he's at 5 under. This is a guy that if you don't know the name, you probably will. He is a guy that plays very, very, very well. And it seems like that's going to start translating. We'll see what Cantlay can do here. Been a couple of years since he has been in form, but he's T10 right now. Tony Finau been out of form. He is T10 as well. So we'll see if those guys, and Brooks Koepka, by the way, there, Mike Somich, is also T10 at 4 under. So Brooks Koepka swinging the sticks creeping good back on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's fun when Koepka's involved. Like, I'm happy that he's back, paid his penance for going over to live. Probably, honestly, if you're Koepka, this worked out as good as you can. You get your money, now you're back on the PGA. It's nice to see him out there again. We'll see what he's able to do here this season on that tour.
Of course, lots of college basketball talk, but when we come back, Mike Somich is going to give you a couple hockey plays.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt and Mike, 21-20. St. Louis leads Michigan here at the 11:14 mark. It is a stoppage in play if you want to get involved. 10.5 is your live line in favor of Michigan. 170.5 is that live total. And if you think St. Louis can pull the outright upset here, plus 420 over there on the money line.
Yeah, nice little 6-0 run there from St. Louis to be able to take the lead. But fouls becoming a problem for this Billikens team right now. 5 personal fouls already in the first half. So just 2 more and Michigan will be shooting every single time. And Robbie Avila, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as they call him, Steph Blurry, my favorite nickname in the tournament. He already has 2 fouls, which is a big problem because he is the main big man here for St. Louis. So the underneath defense going to be an issue for them. Michigan has quite the bodies to be able to throw underneath there as well. So it does look like advantage Michigan here from a foul perspective early in this game. Still over 11 minutes left in the first half.
Mike, people are driving along and they heard you say Billikens. Do you know what a Billiken is?
Okay. I think it's like a leprechaun. Like, I think it's in the same leprechaun style family. I could be wrong, though, but was the initial reaction.
Very good. The Billiken is a mythical good luck figure invented in 1908 by Missouri art teacher Florence Pretz. It is representing things as they ought to be, often called the god of luck. It's an impish, smiling creature with a round belly and a pointed head. It was massive in the early 20th century and famous again for being the mascot of St. Louis University. So now everybody knows what Billiken is.
I'm taking the W there. That's basically leprechaun adjacent. 100%. Without the pot of gold.
Listen,
right? But like other than that.
Jeopardy, they're going to say no. In my version of Jeopardy, I'm giving you the thumbs up. Like, you know, if I'm hosting trivia night, you win. You know, I mean, you were right there. Kind of a
I should know that. I did grow up in St. Louis. You'd think I'd know what a Billiken was.
Yeah. So we are back underway there. 23 apiece, St. Louis and Michigan. Again, if you want to get in on that one, Mike, we have jumped 5 points from when we said that just a second ago. 175.5 now on the live line. So you said defense optional a little earlier. They are definitely putting the ball in the hoop.
Yeah, pretty happy with the 160.5 over. Hopefully some people got in on 161.5 there before this game tipped off, as it looks like we're on pace for a 100-point first half, Matt. That's good for the over.
Yeah, oh, definitely. St. Louis, I will say this, and you mentioned they might run into some foul trouble or something, but they're hanging right now. It does not look like this is the too big spot or anything like that for them.
This is a really good Billiken's team. They played very well down the stretch, 29-5 on the season. They play fast, which kind of puts some teams in the blender. And I think Michigan can handle it. Like, the key here for St. Louis is they can't have the stretch of the game where that dreaded zero field goals in 4 minutes graphic shows up, because they're going to give up points. If they can keep their offense rolling, they can keep this game close. And so it's just really a question of, can they get easy transition buckets? Can they get open threes? And when they have them, can they hit them? They've already taken 8 threes in this game to just Michigan's 2. So we know they're going to shoot the basketball. If they're able to make those, they've got a shot in this basketball game.
Guys, ProfitX is giving you a shot to become the king of March with free trips worth up to $10,000. So here's how this works. During the tournament, win 10 different pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games and hit the volume goal on wins or losses, and you're entered to win a trip of your choice. Hit 1,000 in total volume, entered for the 5K trip, 10,000 in volume, entered for a 10K trip. We're talking flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered up to those amounts. Download ProfitX, create your account, use promo code VSINMM, so V-S-I-N-M-M, as in March Madness. Win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot, and every additional 10 you hit earns you another shot. Sign up today, use that code VSINMM to compete in the King of March only over there at Profit X. So Mike Somich, 28-27. As usual, the sports book is just a smidge faster than the feed here. So unfortunately, I want to give the line that is current, but I am looking down and we're a good 30 seconds difference here. But 28-27 Michigan, St. Louis, 11.5 on the live line, 176.5 is your live total there. 450 is what you're gonna get on the return on St. Louis. But while we will continue to talk a ton of college basketball, we'll get into some Major League Baseball as well. When the golf gets going with the leaders, we'll let you know what's happening there. But of course, the NHL rolls on, and Mike Somich is going to give us a couple plays. Let's head to the ice.
Technical regulations size or what?
It's time to ask Mike Somich, what the
don't you ever touch my puck?
Yes, the NHL. Mike Somich, I went on Thursday night over to T-Mobile Arena to catch the Golden Knights. By the time that I had looked up, they were already down 1-0. By the time I looked down and looked up again, they were down 3-0. It was the rare occurrence in which you look at the scoreboard and it says shots 3, goals 3, saves 0. They were 3-for-3 on shots. The game was over before it even started. That was the first game I've been to this season, and that was my experience. Come on, Golden Knights.
Yeah, look, this is a entire division, the Pacific Division, that is just on the struggle bus right now, right? This has not been good, and you've got Edmonton, you've got the Golden Knights, you've got the Kings all in this division, and yet it's the Anaheim Ducks, the upstart Ducks, currently leading that division with 80 points. How would 80 points do compared to the other divisions? They're 12 back of Buffalo in the Atlantic. They're 14 back of Carolina in the Metropolitan. And they'd be 20 points back of the Colorado Avalanche in the other Western Conference division there, the Central. However, because you're guaranteed three playoff teams, the Knights still in the playoffs, they would play the Oilers in round one, which would be a great series if either played up to expectation that we had at the start of the season. Right now, the Pacific Division, a little bit of a mess, Matt Brown.
Everybody's loves the fact that we have basketball all day long, but if you're a hockey junkie, you actually have hockey all day long today as well. The first puck drop is going to happen in about 25 minutes with the Jets and the Penguins. That goes right into an hour later, the Knights and the Predators, and then a couple hours after that, multiple different puck drops, and that's where we will start with you with your first play.
Yeah, NHL does this right. Every now and then we have these Saturdays or Sundays where they're just going to spam the board with games that start early. About every hour, we're getting one or two different games that start. So you're able to just watch hockey and not have the conclusion. A lot of these games overlap on each other. We are going to start with that 1 o'clock or with the early window here. First game for us with the puck drop is going to be Buffalo and the Kings in Los Angeles. And I'm just going to play the hot streak here. Look, we're going to lay a goal and a half in two games. Both situations with the team that's just simply playing better ice hockey right now. We talked about this Kings team in the Pacific and how bad that division has been so far this season. Well, the Sabres leading their division, they made moves at the deadline to add specifically on the defensive side. And this is a team that's just streaking right now. If you look at Buffalo, they're 9-1 in their last 10. It actually goes back further than that, as well as they had a win streak of 8 games right before that single loss. So they are 11-1 in their last 12, and they're taking on a Kings team that's just middling right now. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take a big number here. Let's lay the goal and a half with the better team right now in the Sabres, plus 200 on that price. If we can get the Sabres home by two or more goals against the Kings. So Sabres -1.5 plus 200, the first play from the ice today, Matt.
Down into the evening slate. These will be 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. You are going to be, this is where you're going to look at the Senators.
Yeah, and this one, not as big of a number, right? We're only getting minus 110 here, laying the goal and a half, but it's completely justified. This is a Toronto team that has been atrocious. They played yesterday at home against Carolina, blew a lead in that game, ended up losing. Now they got to travel to Ottawa tonight. It's an Ottawa team that dominates defensively, very good from both a Corsi perspective, which is essentially shots against allowed. They're giving up sub-25 shots consistently right now on the defensive side, and they're facing a Toronto team that just has no defensive structure on the other side. This is a situation where the Senators should be able to roll. They're big favorites here, minus 270. I don't want to lay that type of price. I am happy to lay the goal and a half of the Senators here, minus 110. So two puck line plays today. Ottawa, -1.5, minus 110, and Buffalo, -1.5, plus 200, Matt.
We did mention we get that first puck drop in about 25 minutes. That's Winnipeg and Pittsburgh. It is currently market best minus 154 if you wanted to play Pittsburgh there in that one. And if you wanted the Winnipeg side, you can get plus 140 out there, 6.5 the total. And we said an hour after that will be Vegas and Nashville. That is currently about minus 145-ish, though 142 seems to be DraftKings and FanDuel in favor of Vegas. You can catch about plus 120 on the Nashville side of things, 6.5 the total in that one as well.
Yeah, and that Vegas-Nashville game should be pretty interesting here as the Preds starting to play a little bit better hockey. We'll see if they can get themselves in the conversation, but been very good at home so far this season. Right after that, 1 o'clock puck drop on Pacific, 4 o'clock East. That's the game of the day. Dallas Stars headed in to take on the Minnesota Wild. Right now, Dallas, a slight favorite, minus 135. I am going to fit that one in my quad box. I want to watch that hockey game. That should be a very, very good one. Two of the best teams in the NHL in Dallas and Minnesota there. So that's the marquee game of the day. The Islanders-Canadian game a little bit later, one of the bigger playoff important games of the day there in the Eastern Conference.
I look over, I see Samuel L. Jackson. That means we have a stoppage in play. It is 30-29 in favor of Michigan at the 7:28 mark. We're still sitting at that 10.5 live line, Mike, in favor of Michigan. 175.5 our total. We are now getting 5-1 on St. Louis if we think they win it outright.
Not terrible, Matt. Mm-hmm. If they can keep like this, keep playing this way on the offensive side, they're live.
When we get back, I'm going to look up. It's not going to be Samuel Jackson. It's going to be Aaron Halterman. We'll see what he's on today and into tomorrow and maybe even into the future.
Ready, set, bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt Mike here, Ready, Set, Bet. We go to break, and it was a tight game. And not that it has gotten out of hand or anything, but there was a nice little run here by Michigan. And Mike, it is now 40-31. The 9-point lead has this up to 13.5 on the live line. And if you want St. Louis, you can now catch nearly 9-1 for them. As you mentioned, the shot selection, questionable at best there for a stretch, almost an air ball. One completely missed the rim and just caught the bottom of the backboard. Mixed in there as well, and Michigan converting on the other end. So 40-31 currently.
Yeah, we talked about how important the three ball is for the Billikens. They were 4-for-8. Now they're 4-for-12. And you look on the other side, Michigan right now 6-for-7 from long distance. So the Billikens need a little bit of that three-point regression from Michigan here if they're going to stay in it. However, good for the total as we have 71 points here and we are yet to the 5-minute mark in the first half.
Let's get to our favorite little Billiken. Aaron Halterman going to join us here at Racing Dudes. Also, you find him over on the podcast. He knew what a Billiken was. I mean, basically knew what a Billiken was. And so,
he's got his blue on.
He's got his blue, he's got on. His blue on. He's got his Billiken blue on. I mean, very, very Billiken-like of you.
Look at this. Billiken cosplay from Aaron Halterman. Yeah. Who knew?
I've been called a lot of things in my life, guys, a lot of things, but a Billiken never. So I don't know if I'm there happy about it or not, but that was awesome.
You'll tell your grandkids about it.
Honestly, you'll remember if your ears were a little more pointy, you would match the mascot that's up there.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. This is going to get us. Let's not spiral out of control. Breaking news here on the Puma. Tell us what's going on with the Puma, Aaron.
That's right. I'm very proud to be the one to break this to Mike Somich. He's trying to get it out of me privately. And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I know where the Puma is going to run next. And the Puma is going to run next weekend. So I got to be here next weekend. The Puma is going to run in the Florida Derby. That's right. He's going to run up against all those monsters down in Florida Gulfstream Park. So get ready, Somich. Next week, the Puma in the Florida Derby.
That is a heck of a decision from the Puma. I'm not going to lie. That is a loaded race. We were talking about it on VSiN at the track. Already going to be the best prep, period. End of story this entire prep season because you've got horses like Nearly and Commandment and Chief Wallaby all lined up. Dare I say a good sign from Delgado that he wants to send the Puma into that already loaded rotation. We've seen him at Gulfstream Park before. You're going to have Castellano aboard. That kind of shows some confidence in the Puma from his connections.
There it is.
That's how I took it. How I took it. I thought, you know what? He chose the harder of the races. I think it's a really good sign. Now, it is his home track, but still, I think it's a really good sign. He knows who's going to be there. He knows how good that field's going to be. So to throw your name into the hat there, I think it's a very, very good sign.
Aaron, you do have four plays for us that we'll get to in just a second. But after the first 2 days of the tournament, any big takeaways there for you? Did any team really, really impress or super disappoint or anything like that? Or do you just go, it's a one game sample. I'm moving on. I'm not changing my thoughts on these guys.
That's pretty much it. I think the one thing, guys, and I hate to say it really, but it's like, man, it just kind of feels like Cinderella's not there anymore. There's just not a whole lot of upsets here. You did have High Point, and that is kind of our story that we're going to gravitate to. If you're going to root for the underdogs, High Point's still left. But no, it was a lot of like just kind of standard stuff. There were some great games, but you know, like the 7-10 game between Kentucky and Santa Clara, what a game. But it's like, we kind of thought that going in. We thought it'd be a good game. So not a ton of surprises. You know, also, I just feel like, hey, Florida looked great. They were supposed to look great. Arizona looked great. Hey, that happened. The Duke thing got scary, but once they woke up, they looked pretty good. So a lot of standard stuff. I don't take a lot of what happened in this round going into the next round.
The next tip, if we got St. Louis and Michigan right now, 3:41 left in the first half, Michigan up 42-34, is going to be Louisville and Michigan State. That's an 11:45 a.m. Pacific tip, 2:45 Eastern. This is a Louisville team I was against in the first round. Fortunate enough to get the cover with South Florida after that raucous run that they made late to get it close. But Louisville in control the majority of the game, taking on a Michigan State team that looked very good in that first round game. Right now, Michigan State is your favorite in this spot, laying 5.5, total sitting at 151.5. Where are you going with Louisville and Michigan State, Aaron?
Yeah, we were in the same boat where we had South Florida plus that 5.5, and it was like, well, just crumple that up. It's over, and they came back and at least covered that. But you're right, Louisville kind of dominated that game. I don't know if it was Louisville was great or South Florida just for a half decided they weren't going to show up. I'm going to go ahead and fade Louisville again. It did work, although it was, I feel very fortunate that it worked in the first round. I'm going to fade him again here. It's more for me this time, though. I like Michigan State, you know, a ton in this tournament. I think they can make a run. You know, I think they could get to the Final Four even. I really like how this team is built. The thing about it, and we know in the tournament, elite guard play really carries you. That's what Michigan State has. They're a great rebounding team. We kind of know that going in with Michigan State every year. They're going to rebound. They're going to defend. But the guard play is very, very good. You know, Brown is obviously still out for Louisville, and I think as you get deeper into this tournament, you play better teams, that's going to make a bigger and bigger impact as we go. I'm sure Louisville would love to have him for this game. So I'm going to go Michigan State minus the 5.5 here. I think they take care of business and move on to the Sweet 16.
Talking to Aaron Halterman and everybody in Kentucky, really glad that you are on the program to say Louisville the proper way is if you have marbles in your mouth, unlike Mike, who said Louisville 9 times somehow before he got it actually over to you. I know it was breaking people's ears. They were dying when they heard him say Louisville. It's like when people say New Orleans whenever I'm no, that's not, I can't listen to that. At least you did come in and you said it properly.
Well, I'm a horse racing guy, and so is Mike. So Louisville should be very easy. I'm very disappointed in him.
Louisville.
No.
Someone just ran off the road in Kentucky right now. Sorry. That's all on Mike. All right, let's get to your next play here. VCU in Illinois. We are out to 11.5 at DraftKings. You can find a 10.5 if you want the favorite. It is 150.5 to 151 on the total. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go VCU plus the 11.5 here. I'm going to take the points. And this is another one, guys. I played them in the first round plus the 2.5 against North Carolina. I feel very lucky that it came in. But it was another game where once VCU just got going, they looked great. And they looked how they looked the whole last part of the season when they won the A-10 tournament. And they made a nice run even before that to kind of get in position. And look, this VCU team, much like Michigan State, elite guard play. Their guards are very good. They can carry them a long ways here. I don't think they're going to have an outright upset in this spot, but I would be shocked if they don't keep it close and at least scare Illinois here late in the second half. You know, look, I think the whole key to the game is how VCU shoots. They're a three-point shooting team. If they can get hot and make some threes, maybe they can win it outright. But overall for the bet, plus 11.5. I think it's way too many points. I think they keep it close. So yeah, give me the Rams here and hopefully we can get lucky with them for the second straight time.
Feels like we are not talking much about Gonzaga this year for the first time in a long time, as they've been a pre-tournament favorite. If they're flying under the radar, and I'm probably going to get to Gonzaga. I'm going to hear about that from Matt Brown here next time. Don't worry about it. It's just fine. Wait for him.
No, Aaron was shaking his head as you said it. He was shaking his head as you said it. He was like, oh, no. Really?
Anyway, let's make it easy. The Zags are favored by 6.5 today against Texas. Who do you like here?
Well, you call them Gonzaga because you don't call them the Zogs. You call them the Zags. So Gonzaga. That's how I remember that, Samich. A little pro tip for you there coming from me today, Mike. Here's the deal. I'll quit making fun of you and agree with what you said. I do feel like they're being undervalued this year a little bit. Look, they're a 6.5-point favorite here against Texas. This is a Texas team that they did really struggle down the stretch. They barely got in. They almost cost themselves a spot, but I will give them credit. They've looked pretty good in this tournament. North Carolina State, I don't think was great. I don't give them just a ton of credit for that, but you know, the winning against BYU was good. But anyway, Gonzaga minus 6.5 is going to be my play here. I do think it should be a little bit higher of a spread. Gonzaga, they're a very good defensive team. I think they can frustrate a Texas team that, like I said, when they were playing better opponents down the stretch in the SEC and even got beat in the first round of the SEC tournament, they kind of looked lifeless a little bit. I think Gonzaga can do that to them. I think it's a very good, disciplined Gonzaga team. I don't think they have those superstars, and I think that's why we're overlooking them. But I like Gonzaga minus 6.5 against Texas.
Don't want to shortchange the handicap here, but we are down to a minute. Utah State and Arizona, as if Mike was saying it right now. Arizona, who do you like there in that one?
Arizona. Now that's a new one, but I think Mike probably can do it. I think that is something he would say. I like Arizona to win this thing. I think they're the best team in the country. You know, I am an Oklahoma guy, so I used to obviously follow the Big 12 religiously, and I still kind of do in basketball because it's so good. So I've watched Arizona a ton this year. They kind of went in a mini two-game slump in the regular season. That's it. Every other game, they've looked absolutely electric. You have to lay 12 and a half. That's my one thing that I don't love about it. But I think they're 12 and a half points better than this Utah State team. Like I say, it's my pick to win it. So I really, really like Arizona tomorrow and throughout the tournament.
He is Aaron Halterman. Catch him over at Racing Dudes on the podcast, also with Mike and here with us each and every Saturday. Appreciate the time, man, and good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
When we come on back, we're going to give you an update here on Michigan and St. Louis. Mike, somehow I look down and the score's been the same for like a minute and a half. I don't know how these teams have not put the ball in the bucket. We'll let you know where this sits here on Ready, Set, Bet.